All right, this will be a short message because I want us to close in the altars in prayer. I should say shorter, okay? Don't hold me to that, but I think it's shorter than normal. But we live in a culture that treats life as disposable. We see it in the tragedy of abortion. You've seen that this morning. Millions of children have been denied the chance to live. We also see it in the push for euthanasia, where the elderly or the vulnerable are told their lives aren't worth living. Y'all believe every life is worth living? Amen. Okay, wake up. Now, we also see it in the violence that fills our street, the disregard for human dignity in so many areas of society. But the Word of God stands in bold contrast. Jeremiah 10:10, the first part of the verse declares, is it up there? Say it with me, ready? But the Lord is the true God. How many believe He is the only God? Amen? Now say this with me, ready? He is the living God and an everlasting King. Because God is the living God, every human life that comes from Him is sacred and must be protected from the womb, conception. Let me repeat that. Conception. That's when they become a human being. It's not at birth. It's at conception. So very important. So because God is the living God, every human life that comes from Him is sacred, must be protected from the womb, conception, to the grave, natural death. I just have 4 points or 3 points today. Number one, the living God is the source of life. The living God is the source of life. The first pages of Scripture make it very clear. Life originates from God. Genesis 2:7, say it with me. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Life did not come by accident. Life did not come by random chance. Life came when the living God breathed into man. And this is my favorite scripture. David affirms all this in Psalm 139, 13 through 16. Here's what he says. For thou hast possessed my reins. What's that mean, preacher? You've made all the delicate inner parts of my body. Thou hast covered me. In other words, He's knit us together in my mother's womb. Verse 14, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. How many can say, thank You for making me wonderfully complex? Our human bodies are crazy. They're so complex. Can you just thank the Lord that you're fearfully and wonderfully made? Marvelous are Thy works. Can you just say, God, Your workmanship is amazing this morning. And that my soul knoweth right well. I think we all recognize it. We know it. We see the magnificence of life that He has created. Look at verse 15. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret. In other words, He watched us as we were being formed in utter seclusion. Look at the next phrase. And curiously wrought or woven together in the lowest parts of the earth, in the dark of the womb. Look at verse 16. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. Hey, God, You saw me before I was born. Isn't that an amazing thought right there? And in the book, all my members were written. In other words, every day of my life was recorded in God's book, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Another way of saying that is every moment was laid out for me before a single day had passed. What a mighty living God that we serve. That's some of my favorite scripture in the Bible. Every child in the womb is not a potential life. They are a created life, crafted by the hand of the living God. That means abortion is not simply a political issue. It is a spiritual issue. Tammy nailed it. And that means it's an assault on the living God who is the source of that life. That's what abortion is. It's an assault on the living God because he is the source of all life. Boy, as God's people, we have to declare with clarity and compassion that life begins at conception. Every unborn child has dignity and worth because they come from the living God. Number two, the living God is the sustainer of life, not only the source of life, but the sustainer of life. Look at Acts 17:25. He giveth to all life and breath and all things. Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and have our being or exist. We exist because of God. Every breath you take right now is sustained by the living God. Every heartbeat is kept going by his mercy. This is true of the unborn child in the womb, for the middle-aged parent who's working hard to raise a family, or for the elderly saint, and we have some in our church that are in the nursing home this morning. God sustains every one of them from birth or from conception all the way to natural death. But you know what our world does? It discards those it sees as weak. Babies are aborted because they are unwanted. The disabled are marginalized because they don't fit society's definition of being productive. The elderly are often treated as a burden instead of a blessing. But the living God says every life is valuable because God sustains them. Church, if we believe this, we got to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. That's what Love Life Week is all about. Instead of staying in these four walls, we got to get out and be the hands and feet of Jesus. We've got to continue to support single mothers in pregnancies through our Embrace Grace ministry. And we must come alongside families who choose life, even when it's hard. We've got to honor the elderly. We've got to protect the vulnerable. To value life at every stage is to reflect the heart of a living God. Number three, the living God is the Savior of life. Now, here's the greatest truth of all. The living God not only creates and sustains life, but he also offers eternal life. John 10:10, the first part or the last part says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Through Jesus, we can have a rich and satisfying life. Without Jesus, we can't. He is our satisfaction. John 11:25-26, he declared, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. In other words, hey, we're going to live again even after we die physically. How many believe that? Amen. Okay, wake up. Are you with me? We're going to live again even after we die physically. The rest of the scripture says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That means you'll never die spiritually. You'll never be eternally separated from God because you believed in Jesus. And then he asked the question, believest thou this? Everybody makes that decision to reject Jesus or to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. So the ultimate pro-life message is this: God valued us so much that he sent his son to die in our place so that we could live forever. When Jesus rose from the grave, he proved that the living God is also the giver of eternal life. So being pro-life isn't only about preserving physical life. It's about pointing people to eternal life in Jesus Christ. Hey, if we fight for the unborn, but we never share the gospel, we've missed the heart of our mission. So because he is the living God, look at this. Life is, see if you agree with me, ready? Sacred in its beginning from conception. Number two, because he is the living God, life is precious in its journey. That means at every stage, weak or strong. And also because he is the living God, life is secure in Christ. Praise the Lord, the Lord. Once you accept Christ, you are secure for all eternity. Now, I got a question for you. Are we going to stand with the living God in defense of life? Or are we going to bow down to the culture of death? I tell you, that place over there on Peters Creek Road, me and Tanya have an opportunity about once a month. We do the sidewalk outreach. Tammy does it all the time and others. It is so depressing. And every time I do it, I cry. And it breaks my heart to see people coming in there from all other states. I mean, Roanoke has become a hub for abortion. It is the darkness in our city. But on Saturday morning, it's going to be full of light, because right across the street at the Westminster Baptist Church, now it's Sovereign Grace, I think, but that's where we're going to meet. And I want to encourage you to come, take a stand. The choice is ours. We've got to stand with the living God. He is the source. He's the sustainer. He is the savior of life. Here's four things I want to encourage you to do, church. Standing with the living God, that means we need to speak the truth boldly. We've got to boldly declare that life begins at conception. People around us need to know that. Every person, unborn, disabled, elderly, weak, strong, bears the image of God. Refuse to let the culture define what life is or define the value of life. God's already defined the value of life. Every soul is precious to Him. So we got to speak the truth boldly. Number two, we got to show Christ's love compassionately. We're not picketing. We're not protesting this Saturday. We're praying. And we're trying to show the love of Jesus to those around us. We've got to support mothers facing unplanned pregnancies with encouragement. We're going to give them the resources. We're going to pray for them. We're going to continue to pray for Blue Ridge Women's Center, who we support. They've got a big fundraiser this Thursday. If you'd like to give extra beyond what our church gives to Blue Ridge, I'll take the check with me and I'll put it in the pot on Thursday night. We've got to continue to support them. Then we've got to continue to support Love Life. We also support them monthly. And if you want to give some money to them, we'll take it Saturday to the prayer walk, or you take it yourself. I want to encourage you to come. We also got to continue to support Embrace Grace. Lake and Barnes leads that ministry, and they met this morning during Sunday school. So those are the three ministry, and they all partner together, and it's wonderful. We've got to care for children through if we can foster, if we can adopt, whatever the case may be. We need to pray for the families that are doing that and encourage that. And we got to honor the elderly. We got to honor the vulnerable by visiting them, serving them, valuing their lives, because every life is a gift from God. Number three, we got to stand for life publicly. We got to advocate for laws and policies that protect the unborn and defend the vulnerable. I told you in number two, under the second point, I told you to pray. Under this one, number three, I'm asking you to partner with these pro-life ministries and the pregnancy centers in our community, Blue Ridge Women's Center. We've got an opportunity to do that this Saturday at the Love Life Prayer Walk. If you can't make the walk, like Tammy said, bring your lawn chair and pray on the hill. Everybody can participate. Please come. Stand up. Be a visible witness for Jesus by showing that Christians, we just don't speak about life, but we protect it. We celebrate it. And when you see a bunch of churches come together, there's going to be teenagers. This is also Teen Week. We're going to have a crowd. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. And we need to stand up. Number four, continue to share the gospel faithfully. The ultimate pro-life message is the good news of the gospel. We need to be sharing our faith. Eternal life is only found in Him. A church that is truly pro-life will not only protect physical life, but we're pointing people to the Savior at every opportunity we have. Read this, and I think I'm done. Ready? To honor life is to honor the living God. To defend life is to reflect His heart. To share eternal life is to fulfill His mission. Can we say that together? Everybody look at the screen. Ready? To honor life is to honor the living God. To defend life is to reflect His heart. To share eternal life is to fulfill His mission. Now, I want to give you an update. I'll close with this on what's going on in Virginia. Abortion is legal and generally available during the first and second trimester. Tammy said that this morning. Parental consent right now is required for a minor to have an abortion. But the possibility, listen, of abortion without any restrictions looms very large on the horizon in 2026. You say, preacher, how did we get there? Well, the overturning of Roe versus Wade, how many remember that? It was overturned in 2022. Oh, does that mean abortion went away? Nope. That means the abortion issue fell back into the states. So each state determined, okay, how are we going to regulate it? Are we going to ban it? Ban abortion completely? But it's up to each state. How many realize right now we're a very liberal state? And so it does not look good. But through God's people, if we will pray and also vote, you say, preacher, you don't get very political. I'm getting a little political this morning. Because not only can we pray, we can do something about it. We can also vote. Let me give you an update. In Virginia, legislative work is underway to enshrine the provision of abortion without any restriction through the passage of a constitutional amendment. Now, y'all, you say, oh, that's no big deal. It's a big deal. Because once the Constitution is amended, it's there. And very, 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 very unlikely to ever be changed. You say, how in the world are they doing this? Passage requires that both the House and Senate approve the proposed amendment in 2 consecutive years. After which, the issue is voted on by the citizens to be finally adopted. So I'll explain. Virginia's legislature approved that amendment to the Constitution in January of 2025, just a few months ago. There will be another vote in January of 2026. If that is approved, it will be presented to the people on the statewide ballot in November of 2026. And then it's going to be up to the people of Virginia to decide. Now, this November's election of the House of Delegates is more important than ever. You say, why, preacher? Because Virginia's current law on abortion, it's already very quite permissive. But if the Constitution of Virginia is amended, as they are proposing right now, it will allow for abortion without any restriction up to the day of their birth, let that sink in, including no parental consent for minors. That means a girl can have an abortion and her parents not even know about it. Well, we better check out where the candidates stand on this issue, on this amendment. And we need to vote according to biblical values. You need to share it with your family and friends. We've got to stop this amendment from becoming law. Early voting starts September 19th. Early voting starts September 19th. The deadline to register to vote is October 24th. And by the way, if you're not registered to vote, you need to register to vote. Election day is November 4th. The governor is going to be elected, lieutenant governor, attorney general. The House of Delegates, that's the very important one right now, and many of our local offices. I'm just encouraging you to pray and vote according to biblical principles. Defend the value of life. Stand for life because we serve a living God. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. I wonder if we'll take some time right now to pray for life, and that's what this whole week is designed for. Get on our knees. Fast one meal, two meals, three meals. Get together here on Wednesday night, part of our midweek refresh service, and pray. The kids are coming in. The teenagers are coming in. The tots are coming up. At the end of our service on Wednesday night, we'll gather in a big circle around these pews, and we'll pray. It's an awesome time. And then Saturday, we will join across the street from Planned Parenthood on Peters Creek Road. We're going to stand for life. I want to encourage you to be there. Do your part. Don't just say, hey, I'm for life. Be the hands and feet of Jesus this week. Lord Jesus, we give this week to you. We know we're called to do something, not just sit on our blessed assurance and do nothing. Help us to pray. Help us to stand. Help us to vote. Help us to stand on biblical principles and stand with the living God. Lord, may your perfect will be done. I pray our people would get excited about this more than ever. I know this is our third year, but I pray, Lord, that we would just do it again. And for the new ones that have come in our church in the last year or last 2 years, last 3 years, that they would join us. And Lord, may you be glorified as we're shining our light for you. God, do a work in our church. Do a work in our city. Dispel the darkness. Greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. And Lord, we've got to stand on that this week. Lord, please help us. And Lord, we're just asking for you to just help us to be mindful of this all week. Help us to be in constant prayer for life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.